coffee stay black, just like me. Don't need no sugar, don't need no cream. Coffee stay black, just like me.
Coffee Black is an emerging social enterprise that seeks to bring back the intersection between Black history and Black coffee. Did you know that coffee is the second most sought after commodity in the world, right after oil? It's worth an estimated $100 billion a year. That's big stacks, family. That's stacks on stacks. Modern coffee culture is immersive. Baby seeds to morning cups, farmers abroad to local roasters, the global product both makes the world run and brings people together. But the lesser known reality is this: coffee was swindled from Africa in the 16th century. And at Coffee Black, we believe Black communities re-engaging in coffee is both a means to reclaim a stolen destiny and build generational wealth within the diaspora.
My name is Bartholomew Jones. I'm the owner and CEO of Coffee Black. I am an educator, an MC, and a coffee nerd. And I'm here with my brother, Jonathan Gebre-Amlock from Tristelle Coffee. Let me know if my pronunciation.
Hey, you're good there, man.
I'm working on it. But yeah, man, so we're getting ready to have a really dope conversation. We kind of had part of this earlier in the year, and I think we have the coffee that I think is going to make this conversation even doper. So before we even get into it, bro, Jonathan, tell everybody about what you and your dad do, how you guys got into coffee.
Well, that wasn't even by choice, you know, just part of the culture, you know.
So break it down, but the people might not know, you know what I mean? Break down where you from, where your dad's from, what is the culture? When you talk about the culture.
So my parents are from Eritrea, it's a country in East Africa. In the Horn of Africa, on the coast of the Red Sea, so right north of Ethiopia. So my parents, it's just pretty much the same culture, very similar culture. My parents been drinking coffee since they were born, pretty much same thing like me.
Yeah.
And then my dad was, you met him, we'll talk about that too, because I actually want to hear that story.
Well, my dad, yeah, bro, it's hilarious.
But dad, it's hilarious. I can't even talk right now. I just got Invisalign too. I'm like slurring words.
Okay, no, I feel you. Get it right, bro. That's for Miss Gabriel. I'm like in the future, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the plan right now. That's what. But yeah.
Hey, my man's single. If you on the live, you watching the podcast. You know, my man building the empire right now.
Yeah, you're trying to, man. But yeah, my dad, as you met, coffee. My dad was like, let me try it. So actually, you know what? I can show you this barbecue grill over there.
Yeah.
My dad attached a drum to it and started roasting. Yeesh! On that.
Like,
that's how
boss.
He initially started roasting. Okay. This on some like.
I love it.
And my dad attached a drum to it, and then we just started roasting it, started playing around with it, and then eventually took it to some like Ethiopian stores, and they ended up buying it. And then ever since then, I mean, he was kind of doing it for a little bit. And I was like,
so when you say Ethiopian stores, when you say Ethiopian stores, you mean in Ethiopia?
No, like in Dallas, like in the city of Dallas.
All right, we skip part of the story. Wait, how does that happen? Because I know there's a big part of, you know, your ethos behind what you do is your dad's story. So, like, walk us through how you guys get from your dad getting into coffee from one of his, I guess you say your uncle. You know what I mean? And
that's how we call it. Too. Uncle.
No, I feel you. I got some uncles and some cousins and some brothers that's not really uncles, brothers, and cousins, but you
never
know.
Even met the dude, to be honest.
Yep.
We call
him. So is he my uncle now since I met
him? Yeah, that's how it is. Once you get one connection with it, that's your uncle.
Okay, but so break us through. Your dad is getting introduced to coffee. This is in Eritrea.
No, this is here in Dallas.
Okay, so he's growing up in Eritrea. A part of coffee culturally, but not really in the infrastructure of the business.
Yeah, he's not really. He didn't start getting into the business, I'll say, until like 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, so fill in the gap for us. What happens between him being into coffee and where he's growing up? Because it's culturally a part of that Eritrean, Ethiopian, Yemeni, yeah. Sudanese
you're
culture.
Between the last like 30 years since he came here to selling coffee?
Yeah, just that process of matriculation. Because part of what I want to talk
it's a
about
lot,
is,
man.
Yeah, give us the Cliff Notes story, because I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I do want to touch on the some of the values and some of the struggle that's imparted on you, you know?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, long story short, you know, working at like a, he was working at like 7-Eleven for some years, and he was like a parking lot attendant.
Yep.
Then he became, then he was a truck driver for most of my childhood.
Wow. And this so is after like, he gets to the United States.
Yeah, he's, like, yeah, he's worked a whole bunch of jobs like that.
But before he gets to the United States, he has to go through, what you said, three different countries?
Yeah, he's, I don't even, he probably more. I probably missed some. I know he's been to Uganda.
Yeah.
He lived in Kenya, which is where he met my mom. He lived there for like 2 years, 3 years in Kenya.
And this is all him trying to provide a better life for you guys.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, we weren't born yet, but like whenever.
The idea of
the
you.
Idea of like, yeah, himself. He went to, I know he went to Europe. I think he went to Prague and like.
Wow.
I don't, it's new countries every week. Like he's telling
me. Bro, your dad is low key James Bond, bro.
Yeah. Like,
that's the black that's James Bond. They said to hit your dad up.
That's every immigrant story, man. It's crazy. They all got like a
yeah.
like a million books they can write. And wow. then came back to Africa, and then he went to finally got to America from after Kenya. I think he got a YMCA sponsorship.
Okay.
So he went to Houston. My mom went to Dallas, and then like a couple weeks later, Thanksgiving Day actually, my mom came to America, and then she went to Dallas.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's I Yo, mean that's bro. Pretty much. Long story short, and then you know working various jobs. He was a truck driver for like almost like 10-15 years.
And when he gets to the United States, do y'all immediately just boom start the coffee company, or was there a come up? Like, were y'all living in the deluxe apartment in the sky at first, or
they were paying like Dallas was a lot cheaper back then. Like, I mean, it's still cheaper now, but
yeah,
nah, they were because like you got to think about it when you get to, you know, you're coming from a different country. There's not hoods over there. Everything, especially a third world country, it's just
break that down like, though. That's key.
Everything is the same. Like everything is. There's no bad area. Everybody's not. Nobody's really rich, but there's no bad areas. There's no like good areas. There's kind of like, you know, it's just the same. There's no like crime.
The dichotomy is not as large between the rich. It's like you got the obviously you got the super wealthy, you know, politicians and people who are like industry gurus. But most people are living in the same kind of like lower middle kind of like.
It's safe. Like it's super safe.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Also, even I went last year. If you see somebody like an old lady walking down the street, you'll be like, "Hey, like, mama, you want to ride?" Like, you know, like it's,
yeah.
like it's, you know, and they'll be like, "Yeah, they'll just hop in the car." They'll just hop in.
Yeah,
the car.
But I think that's important, man, because part of the conversation I want to have with you is, you know, obviously your family has a legacy from Eritrea, and there's a huge coffee culture there, and we're gonna touch on that. But I think, you know, in the time that we're in, the first person I think about when I think about, you know, Eritreans in America, I think about Nipsey, right? I think about yeah. Nip, and. Yeah. One of the things that he's touched on, and we talked about this in other podcasts, is how much of a cultural difference there is when he was able to finally go home, because he spent most of his time in South Central LA. When he yep. was finally able to go home, it really showed him how much so many of us in the diaspora, and by us, I mean other Africans who have moved into other places, whether through colonialism or the slave trade. He's like, when he came back to the gang culture in South Central LA, he was like, yo, we're missing something. Like, there's a human aspect of how life is in the motherland that's missing in my community. And that really sparked a lot of his change to turn into the Nipsey that we know and love today. Like, it yeah. was him experiencing I don't want to say pure, but I feel like that uncolonized culture, or at least that more authentically African culture in Eritrea. And you're almost describing like you've had an opportunity to see that too. You know what I mean? Something that's yeah. almost totally different, because I know you grew up in the projects too, right? Like you grew up
when we were like younger, when we were like four, but we moved. So mainly we lived like in like regular like neighborhoods. But when we were like four or five, when my parents first came to here, they didn't know.
Yep.
$250 rent. Like, oh, let's go there. Like, you know what I mean? They didn't know. So they were living like, now they got fixed up the areas. But before, they were just regular, like, you know, they weren't, I think they were, like, the program they came through, YMCA or whatever, like, they were paying for the rent until they were getting jobs and able to stuff like that. So I guess technically, like, Section 8.
Even the concept that poverty yeah. breeds violence was not a thing that was in their mind. They're like, just because rent is cheap doesn't mean people are going to be violent. Like, that wasn't necessarily an idea that was in their mind when they
yeah,
were moving.
Yeah, that wasn't an idea. Yeah, my dad was actually telling me, like, there was a lot of – that's why he never opened a gas station. Like, even – he was telling me, like, there was a lot of, like, Ethiopian Eritrean, like, guys that came over here open a gas station, you know, like in bad areas, and then they ended up getting killed, or like got like even people I didn't even know like put at like thank you, put at like, you know, different, like they got their story either ended up.
My guy got hand service. He said, "Thank you."
I was talking to my mom because she didn't end up getting food out here. I didn't even know.
Bro, you said that, so like, you had service coming through, bro. I was like,
I didn't want to be too loud. Like,
thank you. I feel you.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much like what happened. So he's like, after like seeing that and hearing about that, he's like, I definitely didn't want to open up like any type of gas station because, you know, they didn't have money to open it in nice areas, and like that would be the only areas they could open it in.
Right, so there's this concept in a lot of America, and I would say the UK too. I think a lot of countries that are like post-industrial or post-colonial, like where you have this immigrant / post-slave descendant of slave group of people, even with white people, like in the Appalachians, where you have crime, drugs, and poverty that get concentrated, and it's all in the dregs of, or after the dregs of oppression. You know what I mean? So a group of people get oppressed. They're kind of thrown off to the edges of society. They breed within this space, and due to a lot of, you know, I would say systemic racism too, you have an environment that is almost unlivable. And a lot of us can speak to this. If you grew up in the projects, or like me, yeah. I grew up, I shared a fence with the projects. So I remember when we were walking around, me and my homies playing Beyblades, like we were just walking and we saw this truck and there was like a girl laid out in the bed of the truck. We're like, that's kind of weird. We didn't think anything about it because you saw weird stuff all the time. It was gangs all over the place. We kept on moving. Turns out that girl had been killed and like they were looking for her missing body. So there was a huge police raid in the projects that we shared a fence with. And like those type of like traumatizing things almost get normalized. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I've been to Memphis, so I see how it is, but the way I get what you're saying, because like even in Dallas, the way there's no like the nice neighborhoods that across the street from the bad neighborhoods, or like that, so you see everything, like whether it's so like cities like Memphis, like Dallas, like New York, LA, like places like
Detroit,
bigger cities,
Chicago,
Chicago. Well, even Chicago kind of split.
Bro, and I feel like there's something about seeing it across the street, knowing that there are people, and I just did an interview with Steven, and there's a Tupac Shakur, actually, who connects to the coffee that we sourced from you guys. We're going to get into that in a minute. But he has this quote where he says, you know, it's being black in America and being a descendant of a slave in America is kind of like, you know, you're starving, and you go to a hotel every day and say, hey guys, do you have any food you can spare? And every day they say, oh, there's no food in here. Meanwhile, you can see people throwing salami. You can see people throwing cheese. You lying. So you say, hey, please, you and your friends get together. You say, hey, you're going to sing a song. We are hungry. Please let us in. We are hungry. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Have you seen that clip? And then after a while, you're not going to keep asking. You're not going to keep saying, it's going to turn into, we hungry. We need some food. We hungry. And then after a while, I'm coming through the door, picking the lock, blasting. You know what I mean? Like, it's going
to... Yeah, ends up like, okay, we're getting by force. Yeah.
Yeah, and that violence turns into not just these people who have this wealth that, you know, a lot of us know was built off of our labor. And even with coffee, we know a lot of this wealth was built from the theft of coffee from Africa, right, in the port of Mocha. It kind of steals the opportunity for Africa to build out this industry. But we know that these things happen, man. And after a while, it just turns into a, like, anybody with anything who might have something I'm taking, you know? And that, it dehumanizes you. I think slavery is dehumanizing, colonization is dehumanizing. And when you end up as a dehumanized person, you can't do anything. Not can't, but the natural result outside of the intermission of Yahweh, you know, praise be to God that he can come through and change these things. But if there's no transformation or healing, you're going to keep dehumanizing other people. And so it's interesting that you and your family kind of, as you guys left Africa to come here, that you experienced that, like, dad, this is kind of like, that's, like this is how it's supposed to be.
But, you know, it's funny because I'll say it like this. We, like, coming I still know I had it better than, not even better, way better than what I could have had it. As yep. far as
that's you
know
real,
what I mean?
Bro.
Like, you know what I mean? So like, I still appreciate. You know, no country
is perfect.
Like, there's gonna be the flaws, but I still appreciate what I have now. Like, we have a backyard with plants in the back, and you know what
you
I mean.
You still
like,
appreciate the opportunities you, know, like, you have in America it. Right now.
It was like we could have definitely not have had that. Like,
well, and so let's get into that. Like, now we're at a position, and the same thing, you know, if you've been following the podcast, the same thing. It's like, okay, yes, there's been this theft of people and goods and coffee and cobalt. And I mean, so many things have been stolen and colonized, right? Yeah. But now we, as the descendants of our ancestors, have an opportunity to create a better future. And that's what your father wanted to do. He wanted to create a better future for you and your family.
And I think, it was like, I seen like how hard they worked. Like, even I still be thinking like how my parents paid for it.
How did you do that?
Like, my mom was just working in the mailroom making like $8 an hour. Like,
yes.
You know, my dad was a truck driver. You know, that like probably $50K after all the expenses and everything. So it's like off of that. Right. Yeah, I know we were on free lunch, whatever. Yeah.
But no, but I feel you. But it's like that opportunity that, you saw your dad do. Yeah, it impacts you.
And my parents always say, like, you learn by it, like seeing. Like,
yes,
you know,
bro.
Even when I still do it, they'll say, do this, do that. Like, if they say, like,
you should bring that up every time they tell you to do something. Like, let me see.
No,
you
I
do
just
it
tell
something.
My mom all the time, but but you learn by, like, I see, okay, they work hard. I see, like, okay.
Bro, you still alive after you said that to your moms?
No,
it would have been a wrap.
But it'll be like in conversation, but she even said to herself, they'll say, you learn by. You teach people by doing. You don't teach people by telling. So, like, I thought
that's real.
I used to always observe what they do.
Bro. And see, but even culturally, that's so important. Like, that's so important is the idea of, like, that's a way. I feel like that is a more African way of learning. And as someone who was a teacher for 10 years, so much of the way we were told to educate kids in the hood was, like, just run your mouth. And I found that I had more of an impact, at least in our culture, by actually doing things and letting kids and my students do things, which is kind of when now that we've started the coffee company, like, I don't spend a lot of time where we do these cuppings every week with the youth in our community. I don't spend a lot of time talking about coffee theory, tasting notes, looking at wheels. I have them cup. We cup. We just cup every week. We cup and we cup and we talk about what we're tasting. But you're going to spend more time with we call it the hood slurp. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get this spoon. You're going to put this pinky out. You're going to, you know, real quick. And that's really where the empowerment comes, because if you're doing something, then you feel comfortable doing it when I'm not there. But if the only way you know how to do it is when I'm sitting here explaining it to you, then you're not really going to know. So I think this kind of connects to me to one of the things that I'm super excited about. We were able to, through your uncle, through you guys, we were able to purchase some coffee from you guys, a couple months ago? Before that. We purchased a Yerga Chefe and a Sidamo.
You got the
from you guys?
Yerga Chefe,
I've been working on it, bro. I'm trying to decolonize my tongue, you know? So, like, we got these things. And we got the coffee from you guys, and we had this idea when we were tasting. I was like, yo, this is sweet. And me and you were texting back and forth. And you had the idea to kind of honor Nipsey and another guy. What was the name that we came up with?
It was it Hustle Like Shakur?
It was Hustle Like Shakur. And, of course, we know that Hustle honors Nip because you all are from Eritrea. Nip is from Eritrea. And we wanted to honor the work that he did in our community by kind of taking a gift from you all, the coffee, and putting that in our community. And so honoring that connection. And then Shakur, obviously, is Tupac's last name, but you told me something really interesting about what Shakur means in one of the languages in Eritrea. Which language is it?
Tigrinya. I think it's in Amharic too, in Ethiopia, if I'm not mistaken, but it means like sweet or like sugar, you know, like Shakur, like sweet.
Yeah, and I learned actually through the person who we're exclusively offering this. You can't get this online. You can only get this in the hood in Memphis through one individual who I'm going to bring up here. We really believe in the work he's doing. But someone mentioned on Facebook that there also is a term that people could use to refer to young girls, like sweetie or something like that.
So
anyway, there's a brother named Kedron Franklin who's an activist here in Memphis. He's also an MC, like myself, Brothers Cole, and he's been holding it down for a long time, fighting for racial justice. He's decided to get into coffee. And so he has bought one coffee truck, and he has a petition right now, GoFundMe, to buy 10 coffee trucks. And his goal is to employ formerly incarcerated individuals, let them build out their own businesses through coffee. And because they are, a lot of these individuals already understand the import-export business, you know, the idea of purchasing something from another country, cooking it up in your kitchen, weighing it up, bagging it up, and feeding the streets. Like, that's a concept that a lot of formerly incarcerated individuals in Memphis know. So it's like coffee is a natural connection. Yeah. So, like, we are, he's actually the only person we want to carry your coffee. And we gave it to him last week. And it was so cool, man, just to hear the story, even on Facebook, seeing that connection, and being able to talk about your family story, connecting that to Nipsey story, and seeing that literally come to life and honoring his legacy here in Memphis. Like, I got goosebumps. Plus, the Big Sean record just dropped, and he has a record with Nip reference? On there. Yeah, bro. Yeah. And I was like, I'm listening to this and thinking about my mans with the car. It's crazy, bro. So, like, it's one of those things where it's a... Bro, it is, man. And I think that for you all, like, I'm really curious, man, like, as you think about what coffee's potential is in the diaspora, like, African peoples are all over the world at this point. What do you kind of feel like is the potential for coffee to create change, like, in the hood in Memphis and where you guys are and just all over the world, you know?
I mean, I think just off the fact that, you know, it can employ people.
Yeah, bro. And it doesn't require certification. You can just get it and get the work. Like you said, your dad was flipping it off the grill.
Literally off the barbecue grill right here and just put a drum on it and was just eventually got the times down. And, you know, crazy. So, yeah, you know. And but at least the thing with the drum, you can open it up and look if it looks ready, you know. I mean, with the barbecue grill, you can open it. But still, that's not how you want to roast. So, I mean, we got the roaster now. But
Y'all leveled up. But I think that's beautiful because that process is something other people can emulate without having to go spend – I don't know how much your roaster cost. We just bought a 10-pound roaster. It was like $8,500, $9,000. You know what I mean? Yeah, like ours was, that.
Yeah, we bargained it down, but it was around that much. And then the shipping over here and stuff like that. It was pulled around almost like $10,000 or something like that.
Yeah, bro. So like knowing that people can in on the business and start making money just off the grill, or like you know, like it's done in Eritrea or Ethiopia, you could do it off the stovetop.
Yeah, off the stovetop, On the cast iron, like you said, with coffee, my bad, coach, but coffee, you know, second, first or second, whatever it flips around, but highest consumed commodity, right? So,
yeah, bro, everybody needs
over 2.2 billion cups of drink every day. So, it's like,
yeah, bro, that's crazy.
If you start selling 2.2 billion, is an infinite amount. And the thing with coffee, people are always, it's not like Nike and Adidas where they only wear Nike or I only wear Adidas, like, people are always open to try new coffee, though. If people start going into that, you can
possibly... No, that's a good point. Break that down a little bit, bro, because I think that's actually a gem. That's a gem, bro, like, you just dropped, though. It's not like Nike or Adidas. There's not necessarily a hierarchy.
It's not like, yeah, people don't have brand loyalty to coffee. They're not like, I only drink this coffee. Like, I only drink, from what I've seen. And they might be people like that, but they're like, I haven't seen anybody say brand of coffee.
Yeah.
They might have their favorite... But people that drink coffee, first of all, to drink coffee, it has to grow on you. It's like a beer almost. Like, you know, like you don't try to like it automatically. It has to grow on you, right? So like, obviously you tried multiple coffees, you tried multiple different origins, stuff like that until you finally like found something you liked or it grew on you, right? So automatically you're open minded if you drink coffee, I think. So
I think so, bro. Man, you dropping gems.
You know what I'm saying? I think you're, at least with coffee, you have to be pretty open-minded. Even if you put sugar and cream like that, you know, like it's an acquired taste. And then eventually, you know, people start dibbling down different coffee brands, different brew methods, different origins. Yep. Stuff like
that. Bro, my wife always says coffee's like an adventure for me. And I think that kind of gets to that point. There's so many things to try and to learn and to discover. That's kind of the joy of it. Once you fall into it is the process of that continual learning. And I think what I love and what I've learned about talking to the diaspora, like talking to African people about coffee, as opposed to, and no shade to your third wave, super specialty, you know, beard, mustache type of dude, you know what I mean? Like those people are cool with the beanies and the Edison lights. That's cool. And I learned a lot from those communities, But what I've enjoyed about talking to the diaspora, talking to you, learning about coffee in Eritrea, talking to people in Kenya, people who are in Rwanda, people who are in Colombia, who are African, talking to people in Haiti, like as we've been able to kind of grow our company and I've been able to talk to people from the Dominican Republic, I feel like it's been cool because now even people who are from Sudan, even like we're talking to a sister whose husband is from Sudan and she's in the UK, like it's shown me how much coffee can be a cultural impact and not just like a culinary impact, even though I enjoy the scientific culinary aspect of it.
Oh, it's like, 100% cultural and social impact.
Yeah.
It's not even about, like, I'll say for us, when we drink coffee, it's not really about the coffee. It's just it's a unity. Like, we're together to make the coffee. Like I mentioned before, there's three rounds. Like, nobody's really sitting here like,
oh, well, break that down. Like, the three rounds. Break that down.
I don't know the meaning of it, to be honest with you, but you roast the coffee.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's three rounds. I guess three is like trust that, you know, it's three is the right number. Not as fun.
Yeah, bro. One thing that I thought about was, okay, so we know a lot of people will say, we're going to get divisive real quick. People say Christianity is the white man's religion. I know through my process of decolonizing my faith that the oldest Christian nation in the world is Ethiopia. And the oldest Bible in the world is in Ethiopia. And the oldest church in the world is in Ethiopia. So Africa had had Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, even the Congo had the faith way before it ever made it to Europe.
There's India, guys that Syria. There's guys that are literally like monks in Ethiopia or Eritrea and stuff like that, where it's like they've been monks and their family, you know, their family tree and stuff like that, been monks for centuries, you know, before like.
That's crazy.
Or like colonization stuff like that. So
before a colonizer even thought about, I gotta say, you know, rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman. I gotta say, colonizer like that, you know. Yeah. So Wakanda forever, but feel you, bro.
That was crazy.
It was crazy. And that movie, bro, I'm telling you, watching that movie was such a huge part of me really falling into coffee black as something that I think could actually create. Because prior to that, coffee was something I liked. It was something I was interested in. I like educating people about it. But I didn't really see the potential. I didn't see the potential for change until I'm watching Black Panther and I'm seeing this substance that's grown in coffee that the world is, I mean, in Africa, that the world is clamoring for, which in this case was vibranium. And seeing someone say this could literally change life for all African peoples. You know what I mean?
You know what's like, funny about that?
Yeah.
I was thinking the other day, I was like, who's like, I guess like Habesha and coffee, like Eritrean, Ethiopian, or like just East African and coffee, because you know, that's where coffee is founded.
Yes.
Me personally, I don't know that many. Like, I just know, I mean, obviously you have like the Ethiopian restaurants and stuff like that, or Ethiopian cafes, but like, as far as like it, trying to expand it and make it like an e-commerce platform and,
yeah,
you know, like how like a big business, I'll say.
Yes, I mean, bro.
Boona's killing it.
And then you have Ground Zero Coffee, who they just distributed in Walmart.
I actually need to reach out.
Bro.
I need to connect with him. I know he's in Texas as well.
And you got Prop, who may or may not be Habesha.
I think he is at this point.
But before we even get into that, like breakdown, because so if you've been following us, you know, in my first episode. I think it was actually our second episode, I had on Ibrahim from Aromo Coffee Beans. Yeah. He talked about how the Aromo are one people group. I think he said the largest in Ethiopia, but there are other people groups besides Aromo. And so you talked about the Amharic people, or the Habesha people group who speak Amharic. And so talk about like what exactly that is, just because if you're like me and you grew up, you know, on the other side of the continent, like not having been there ever. Like a lot of these things can be confusing. I remember even I got jumped one time on Twitter because I was trying to explain what I was learning. I was trying to explain about the Oromo, and I said they were a tribe. it's cool, bro. I got you. Tell them Coffee Black made you do it. But you're saying Habesha is a different group. Different ethnic groups.
To my understanding, the way I was raised and brought was like, and I noticed the people like that as well too. If you're like Eritrean, Ethiopian, like we're a Habesha. But I know there's you know, there's his deep history and stuff like that along the year. So some people may not claim that anymore.
But you, you and your family, y'all are told that y'all are Habesha.
Yeah.
And so you're saying there is no real representation in the culture right now or in the industry, at least on this side, in the third wave. Yeah, for that type of coffee.
There is, but there's not. Like, there is representation, but there's not as, it's not as big as it
could
be. In like, spectrum. You know what I mean? Compared to the spectrum.
If we're looking at a pie and how much of a slice of a pie
If you look at the pie, like,
it could be a bigger slice. Yeah.
Yeah, like, no, you say the total amount, there might be 50 people, but, like, this pie is 50,000. You know what I mean? So it's,
bro.
0.01.
Looking at, that's what that's coffee's
founded. You know what I mean? So, like, it's pretty crazy. Like, it's such a small percentage. So that's why I said, like, even for me, I'm the only one in Dallas that I'm aware of that's like a third wave coffee, like, person that's Habesha. And then you have the dude, Ground Zero.
Yep. Shout out to them.
You have the Ground
Zero. Let me get that Walmart connect, my G.
Yeah, I need to connect with that guy,
Yeah, bro. I'm saying I want to connect to his guy at Walmart. That's crazy.
That Walmart that's what I need. I think my cousin in Austin knows him, or he, like, told me about him before, like, a while ago, before I even seen the page or something. So, I need a connector. That's on some, like, you know, both Habesha and stuff like that. So,
yeah, bro, that's dope. That's dope. Yeah, so, no, I think that's beautiful, man. I think that's beautiful, and I think about what you're saying with Black Panther. Like, there is a potential for creating change through this thing, you know?
Yeah. Because regardless, like you need a way of, let's say, like you said, there was people that were incarcerated, and now they're looking for they're trying to change their life, right? Like, you probably can't get a 9-to-5 job, but someone that's an entrepreneur like that guy, he might hire the guy in Memphis. What was the name of the coffee bar?
Keydron Franklin. And his business is called The Check-In. I need to start a IG chat between you all so y'all can meet.
Yeah.
Because he's looking to buy green.
Something like that. Like, that's a way for them to get a job. There's actually a place out here called, actually talking to them about getting my coffee in there, actually, but it's called Bon Ton Farms out here in Dallas. And then it's in South Dallas, so probably one of the lower income communities within the city, but they hired people that were, like, formerly incarcerated or, you know, were on the streets and trying to change their life and stuff. So
that's real.
So, like, for that, like, things like that, like, that's dope. Like, that, and, you know, they just hired some people for, I think, like, their coffee shop in there that were, like, formerly incarcerated or whatever the case, or were, like, on the streets and trying to change their life. And it's, like, that was the coffee gave him the opportunity, so.
Yeah, bro.
And even talking to Lanisa, she always says coffee changed her life.
Yes, bro. Lanisa, shout out to Lisa from Barista Life LA. Yeah. She's doing amazing things. Barista Hustle. Which actually is another Nipsey connect. And I think, I don't want
to
speak.
Next door to him. That's what, or like in the.
Yeah.
Krishan Slauson. That was crazy.
Yeah, she grew up, you know, one of the things about Nip was a Crip. And so I think Lanisa grew up in that culture. I'm not sure if she's affiliated or if she just is connected, you know what I mean? But, like, that's a part of it, is, like, being able to take a community.
That's just which LA is culture,
Yeah, bro, and being able to say, let's connect to our heritage. Because one of the things about gangs in LA and gangs, in Black gangs at least, in the United States, is they have a connection to community empowerment. A lot of these gangs were started out to kind of reclaim our heritage, to learn about African history, real African history, which is one of the reasons for me why I try to work so hard to just learn and be curious and ask questions, and try to make my tongue pronounce things that it's not used to pronouncing. Because I think this is, like, history that I wasn't taught in school about Africa. And so it's really empowering to know these things happen in the motherland. And, like, I think coffee makes sense to connect to these, to a lot of these cultures, especially in gang culture, because this is Black history, you know what I mean? That people can connect to and not only have a spiritual or educational connection, but you can actually have a personal connection by meeting people and do have financial impact in the motherland by purchasing coffee and have impact in our community by selling that coffee in our community. You know what I mean? And so that's just crazy.
Even if you're just, like, getting matter of fact, look at Jimmy Butler. I saw you post that too.
Yeah.
He realized coffee's a big community. He was like, there's no coffee here. I'm going to sell it for $20 a cup. He, like...
Yep, that's crazy.
There's something like that where it's like, he realized like, that this is a big industry. It's like oil.
Yeah, man. You
know? It's literally like big.
Yes.
Like, and then
because
like,
people
it's
don't like, need it. They go, and I want to talk to him. Like, I want to tell their brother about the history of it. I wonder if he knows. Yeah.
I doubt he does. He said he's working on his skills. So, I mean, I doubt he knows. He's in Texas too. Shout out, Jimmy. But,
yeah, bro. But maybe even pull like, up to and get him some coffee.
Even like, man, there's somebody on top of my head. Oh, even look at the last OG.
Yep.
You saw how that's real. Tracy Morgan, he got into
the coffee shop. Yeah, I thought that was crazy. I was wondering if they were going to bring out the African history of coffee. They didn't. They did bring out how it is similar to the Dope Game. So part of me feels like there is a big need for this history to be on a bigger lane and for a lot of these relationships to be built. And speaking of relationships, like this is what was crazy where I feel like this thing is becoming more than just a conversation. It's like impacting my real life. So I'm in Atlanta working on music, doing pop-ups. I text you. No, I was. You were. But a week ago, I was in Atlanta. I'm doing pop-ups, we selling coffee, you know. It was a good week, bro.
Did you pop-up out there?
Yeah, low-key, bro. It just happened, bro. It was just one of them moments. And it was cool. So, shout-out to Gilly Brew Bar, amazing people. Met Portrait, their family out there, too. Really cool. It was a dope experience. Saw Nichelle from Black Girl Black Coffee. And a lot of really dope people. And one of the cool things about Nichelle, actually, while we're talking about Eritrea, Ethiopia, is that Ethiopia is her connection. And so she went to Ethiopia for this holiday that's in January. It's a Christian holiday.
I follow her. Yeah, Nichelle, yeah.
Yeah, what's that holiday?
Which one?
I can't remember. It's a big one. It's bigger than Christmas in January. It's in January, and it's bigger than Christmas. It's basically Christmas. The celebration of the baptism of Jesus.
Christmas is in January, January 7th.
Okay, well, she was telling me it's the celebration of the baptism of Jesus. I want to say it's Kente.
It might be Hosanna.
I got to look it up. But there's this big celebration. They celebrate the baptism of Jesus by John or Yeshua by John or Jan or Johan, however you want to say it. And then after that, there's this huge celebration in the streets. Buna is everywhere, which means coffee. So people are brewing coffee all over the place. And it's this big thing. And she was like, wow, there's this big spiritual connection to coffee. And that's a big part. She said she was talking to Phyllis Johnson, who's an OG in the game as far as Black people and coffee. And she was just saying like, man, that's really the connection she wants to dial into because she's an ordained minister. And so like I'm out in Atlanta having this really great, amazing kind of like Black coffee family reunion. And I text you. I'm like, yo, let me text Jonathan. He said his uncle sells coffee out here. So I text your uncle. And it's the craziest story, bro. It's the craziest story.
I was just about to ask for that.
Yeah. So your uncle's name is Mockley, right?
Mockley, yeah.
Yeah. And so I text him. I'm finishing up. We're doing like 5 million things. I'm finishing a shoot for like a music collective we're about to launch next year. And I'm trying to do a mobile podcast with Cat and Cloud Coffee, and like the internet's going out on me, but we're making it happen. So I'm late getting to your uncle on what we call CP time, color people time. You know, like you know, it's not gonna be right on the dot. You know, we gonna get there though. And so I'm texting your uncle, like, hey, I'm coming. I pull up, and I imagine because I'm only used to, like I said,
but
I'm
used
to.
What does he look like? I don't know what he looks like. I got
him on camera. So during this time, I'll put some video. So when you watch the podcast on YouTube, when I post this up, you'll see the video of this.
Message me personally when you post it. So I want to see what he looks like.
Bro, it's going to go up in the next month. But I was like, I meet him. And I think I'm going to, because again, my only interaction with coffee is from this very westernized kind of like enlightenment perspective. Everything is super classified, organized, separated. And like you said, Ethiopia, Eritrea, coffee is community, it's culture. And so I pull up, my guy, I pull up, we meet, I'm so surprised, bro. I meet him at the storage unit spot, bro. Like the U-Haul spot. It wasn't U-Haul, but it was like a U-Haul spot. You know where they have storage units where you can keep things moving? Yeah. And so I'm like, okay. He was like, follow me. And I can't get his accent right, but he was like, follow me. So I follow him. He's in his white van. me and the homie is like, I'm with the homie Milan, who's actually dropping a single next week. Y'all go follow Milan Cradle Music. Nonviolence, though. It's my favorite rapper. Anyway, like, bro is like, follow me. So, like, me and Milan, like, this is kind of weird. So, we drive to the back of the storage unit spot, drive in, and I think he has it in his truck. Like, maybe he went to the factory already. He's got it with him. No, he takes me inside the storage unit and just starts opening storage units, bro. And it's like coffee stacked up to the ceiling inside the storage units. I'm like, yo, this is wild. So I'm like, okay, do you got the Gucci? You got the Gucci, because you know we love selling coffee.
Bro, I'm picturing that's how it was in my head. Like,
bro, this is our coffee operating. Yeah, but because that's because it's really cultural. It's not this thing that needs to be super fancy.
It's
so
not commercialized. You're just like, okay, yeah, bad, cool.
It it's family, bro. It's real life. Yeah. It's like moving work. You know, it's like barbecuing. It's like, you know, moving double. It's like, it's real. It's family. So I'm there, and he's all these different coffees. He's like telling me about a bunch of different coffees. I'm like, yeah, I just need the Gucci. You know, I got the Gucci.
Yeah, that's one. I'm just like, yeah, give me
one. Because he tried to tell me about this Kenyan. I'm like, I just need the Gucci gray one. Gives me the Gucci gray one. I get the Gucci gray one. And I'm like, okay, how much is it? He's like, $435. I'm like, all right, cool, $435. That's for a sack, right? And he's like, yes. Oh, so that's 132 pounds, right? He's like, yes. So I was like, okay, do I send you Cash App, Venmo, or PayPal? He was like, $385. I was like, what? $385. I charge you $385. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know we was negotiating. Okay. I didn't know you could negotiate, bro. I thought it was just the price. Like, every other time we bought coffee, the price is just the price. But I just asked him a question. And he went down on the just. I was like, I should have asked more questions. But he was like, I only take cash. I'm like, I don't have any cash. Bro, I was like, I don't, can I just swipe a card, Cash App, Venmo? He was like, I got you. Follow me. So then we leave there. He puts the coffee in the back of his truck. And I get in the car again. And my man's is like, my man Milan is like, hey, yo, Slim. You know, he's from D.C. Like, hey, yo, Slim. You know, where's the coffee at? I'm like, we got to go to a gas station. So we drive down the street to this gas station, and it's mad black people in this gas station. Hood black people, African black people. I'm like, this is my guy's friend's gas station. Like, I know he know the owner of this gas station. But that's the only one close. I don't want to miss out on a coffee because I was already late. So yeah. I'm like, let me just get this. It was so I go in, I buy a bag of rat snacks because I'm in Atlanta. Bro, I don't even know, bro. I don't even know. I gotta pull up the Google Maps, but I'm over there. I get the coffee. No, I don't get the coffee. I go to the ATM. It's mad people walking by. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to put it in. And you know it's like an off-brand ATM. It's not like my card's ATM.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So it's a fee. But I'm like, I'll pay the fee one time, no deal.
I kind of broke up.
A sack of 132 pounds, if I get my math right, you good?
Okay, go ahead. It connected back again.
Yeah, this is just a quick game if you're thinking about getting into the coffee game. Look, $3.85 for coffee that is in a sack, and all sacks are 132 pounds. Ended up costing me about $460.
Yeah, that's okay? About right, yeah.
Yeah, so like this ATM only does increments of 200. So I gotta swipe my card 3 times, bro. I'm like, yo, bro, if I'm getting scammed, they about to have all my information in this machine. Like, I got to swipe that joint 3 times. She was just looking at me. It's weird. I got to pay the fee. The last time, bro, when I got the 400 and I was like, I need extra, I got to swipe. I was almost just trying to go negotiate again. I was like, let me just go ask him some more questions. Let me drop the price. Like, hey, man, they only gave me 400. Like, what you want to do? But I was like, you know what? Bro, he a OG. He an elder. So I'm like, I'm going to respect my guy. You know, the scriptures say respect your elders. So I'm like, look, I'm going to take out another 100 and I'm going to give him 480 just to show respect because I don't know this brother. I'm honored because you let me speak to your uncle. You didn't have to do that. He didn't have to meet me. I could have been a robber. He don't know. So I'm like, let me just give him an extra 20 just on GP to let him know I'm for real and I want to work. Right? Yeah. I want to work. So I give him the coffee. He's like, oh, okay, go put it in your car. I'm like, oh, okay. Ain't no dolly. It's just pick it up. So, you know, but I'm a big dude, you know, so I pick up the 132. We throw it in the whip and we drive off. And my man's looking at me is like, that was the weirdest coffee drop ever. You literally just did a drug deal, bro. And I was like, no,
that's literally how we are.
That's how we are
all the Ethiopian stores. When we do, like, it's the most, like, from what I'm used to, like, doing, like, the other stores compared to those, it's the most, like, polar opposite. Like, it's just, like, hilarious.
Bro.
You gotta experience it.
Bro, it just felt black, bro. It was the blackest coffee experience I've ever had in my life. And I loved it. So we got the coffee. I bring it home, right? I bring it home. And you don't know. Like, he didn't have no sample. I had never tried this coffee. So I just bought one.
Yeah,
sack.
There's no
I
was sample, Rose. Like, you just got to get
you just got to get to work and do something with it. So I got it. And, bro, I'm drinking it right now. I've been drinking it the whole podcast.
Is it good?
This coffee is one of my favorite coffees this year, period. Not that we've sold, that I've ever had, bro.
Really?
The coffee is amazing. It tastes like Cherry Jolly Ranchers.
I'm glad you like
it. And if you've ever been, bro, and chocolate, it tastes, I'm not lying to you. It tastes like Cherry Jolly Ranchers and chocolate cake. It's phenomenal. And it's so sweet and acidic, especially for a wise.
You know what's funny? His coffees be good.
Bro, they be slapping. He know what he doing. Obviously, whoever he works with.
Coffees be good.
He know what he doing. You know who don't know what he doing? Me, with my westernized mind. I'm just like, oh, it has to be, in my mind, I'm fighting the inner, you know, Western guy. I'm like, it has to look like this and this. But the black person in me was like, nah, G, just rock with it. It's family. It's love. It's coffee. It's black. Just rock with it. So I rock with
it.
It's
coffee.
I put the extra money
good,
up.
Bro,
this coffee is a
even
slapper.
Even the, what do you call it? The Yerba Chefe that we got, bro?
Yeah.
At first, I would just, it looked good. Remember, like, you've seen it before. It looks
yeah,
good.
Bro, it's super uniform. I mean, we just roasted some up to take to Kedron next week.
Yeah, but, like, when we tried it, I was like, bro, I'm rocking with this for good. Like, so we just started getting something from there because, you know, it's cheaper by pallet. So.
Yes. So that's what I'm actually, next week or the next 2 weeks, I'm driving. I'm trying to decide.
You're
if
going back
do
over
next.
There to get some more?
Bro, this done. I only got a stack. And before I start, when I start selling it, bro, I'm telling you, when people taste this coffee, it's going to fly. It's gonna. I'm only gonna put one. Only going in the subscription box. I can send one to you on GP because your uncle helped me get it. So no, but for everybody else, our subscription is how we're gonna introduce new coffees. Because I want to introduce people to other coffee roasters to kind of do your a million different coffee. So I want to introduce people to you. I want to introduce people to Steven. I want to introduce people to Red Bay. I want to introduce people to Portrait and other black coffee roasters. And I think where our role is in the family, in the diasporadical family of black coffee, we are culture makers. Like, I am bringing people into the conversation. I'm inviting you to the cookout. I'm handing you your first plate. And I'm going to make sure you always know when the cookout is. But I don't necessarily want to be the grill master because I think it doesn't make sense for us to play. You know, both of us follow Yeshua. We read the scriptures. And so in the scriptures, it says that we're one body with many members, right? Like, so why would an eye try to be an arm? The body needs each piece, right? So, like, that's how exactly. I feel like as we build out coffee as a way to really impact the diaspora, if Coffee Black and Gucci Mane tries to be everything, if Bartholomew Jones tries to be everything, then the whole body loses out on actually what my specific role that I was created to play is. So I'm trying to stay in my lane. We do offer other coffees. Yeah, but I'm trying to really build the whole community up because that's when we win, bro. It's not when one company dominates, but when all of us are able to build an infrastructure where we can all eat. Like, me and one of my mentors say this all the time. The competition is not between two small black companies or two small black coffee roasters. The competition is between all of us and Nesquik and Smucker's and these huge Dutch companies that own hundreds of millions of dollars in coffee.
The big dogs.
You know what I mean?
The big dogs.
That's the competition.
Yeah.
Because there are so many people, like you said, who've never even really had. Yeah, it's not, bro. That's not the fight. The fight is all of us versus these huge conglomerates that are bringing, you know, neo-colonial oppression into many black communities around the world, whether they be in Central America, whether we're talking about the Caribbean, whether we're talking about on the continent. Like, a lot of our communities are really suffering from these big corporations that are setting these super low prices. And I think if we come together as an industry and really start buying green together, which is why I'm excited to meet your uncle. Like, that's the potential for change.
That's
so shout out to your Uncle Makale.
I was scared.
No, it was, I was scared too. I was like, I might die. But it was dope, though. It was, I just had to pull out the Memphis.
He's out with you, know, U-Haul.
Bro, it wasn't even a U-Haul. It was like a John that it wasn't even the like a brand. It was just a spot. It was, yeah, bro. But it was crazy. So this coffee's amazing, bro. Look at me on the lookout for it.
Spots in the hood.
Bro. Bro, one day you and me should take a trip up there, bro. Just chop it up with them, man. Get some food or something. It's gonna be dope. But like the whole experience was amazing.
I was supposed to go to New York.
Yes, bro. Yes, bro. To see Hector too.
Go to any of the coffee fest or anything? What's up?
It's gonna be New Orleans. So yeah, coffee. Fest? At least what the next event is gonna be in New Orleans. I think the big one that I was gonna go to in Portland. So, the SEC joint, the SBA joint.
Let me know which ones you're going to, bro. Yeah, and let me know which ones you're going to. We're gonna connect. I was supposed to go to Coffee Fest in New York.
Yes, bro.
I was trying to get a booth out there, or maybe just go just to, you know, connect with others and learn and just see who's all.
Bro, and I think if we're gonna end this conversation, I think you should end it on that point. That's really the next step forward is us who are in coffee and who are really trying to, you know, impact our communities positively throughout the diaspora. We got to build relationships, bro.
Yeah.
Because if you're not willing to and take risks and even maybe take a loss in order to gain a win in a relationship. So I was willing for me to buy this coffee and maybe it not be my favorite coffee because I wanted to invest in the relationship that we're building with you, that our city is building with what you all are doing. And your uncle. I wanted to invest in that relationship, even if the coffee wasn't good, because the relationship is worth more. But the coffee ended up being a slapper, which I think is that's the point. The point is when you invest in people, products are going to come. Yeah, when you invest in people, when you invest in good people, good products will come. But if you're only focused on good products, one, you're going to hurt good people, and two, you're going to miss out on the best part of the product, which is the relationship. Like, everybody talks about direct trade, but when direct trade is only a means to get exclusive products, then you're missing the point, right? The point is your relationship and investing in those people. Yeah, bro, like you said, it's not this thing that's super official. It's about a community of people being able to grow together and provide for our families and invest in our communities. And that's what I love about what you and your dad are doing, even the fact that you and your dad have a father-son business. That's what I hope to have with my sons. You know, today's my second son's birthday. He just turned 4.
I see that, man.
Okay,
happy birthday.
Yeah, bro, and we got a third one on the way. Steven just had his fifth son. His fifth child is a son. And I just think that, like, us building these relationships and building our family legacies through coffee is a beautiful thing, man. And so I think that's what I want to do. I love that about what you all are doing. Tell people where they can find you. And there's a couple questions down here in the comment box I want to get to.
Can you see them only, or can I see them too?
Yeah, but before we get into the questions, tell people where they can find you, because we about to wrap it up.
Oh, fine. You can find us at Trust LA Coffee.
Yeah, so spell that real quick for everybody.
At TreStelle Coffee. And you can find us at www.trustlacoffee.com.
Yeah.
Check out our new write-up on Voyage Dallas.
I saw that, bro. It's big.
Appreciate it, fam. I think that sounds like I'm barely talking anymore with this mouthpiece in.
Bro, I don't even want to give people the whole cold brew game. We'll have to have you on again.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm experimenting. I'm experimenting right
now. I'm thinking about nitro cold brew. I might mess around with that.
Do it, bro. That's a whole different game, which we got to get into that when we have you on for part two. Hopefully, we can do it in person. I had one person who asked me about if we have coffee from Indonesia. I actually have two or three samples from Indonesia, which we want to get into because Indonesia was actually the first place that was where coffee plantations were built. So that's the first place where you really see coffee colonization happening. And they use seeds that were stolen from Africa in the Port of Mocha in Yemen. And again, there is some debate whether it was those seeds that the Dutch stole or whether it was seeds that came from some coffee that was planted by some Muslim, I guess, invaders in Sri Lanka. And then that colony was eventually taken over by the Dutch at a later point. They kind of drove the Muslims out and stole those coffee plants that were there.
It's so much.
Yeah, it's deep. I don't even want to get into that because bro, right. Yeah. And that's honestly the challenges of understanding African history or history in antiquity at all is that we're used to things being videotaped, right? And that's just not how life worked back then, you know? So, but I think for today, the point here that we wanted to drive home is that relationships and people matter more than products. That I think Eritrea is still having an amazing impact on the hood in the United States today through you all and what you're doing. Y'all are really carrying this legacy and able to pass that to my brother through us, to my brother Kedron, and the check in and what he's trying to do for incarcerated. Bro, beautiful. So people, please donate, please support them. Like, people say that Black people can't work together, and I think that coffee is proving them wrong, man. Like, across cultures, across nationalities, like, we're really helping each other really grow our families, yeah, bro, and also our communities. Yeah, bro, we putting people on. That's the motto. Put me on. I'm putting you on. Like, all year, bro. So,
yeah.
Shout out to you. Shout out to Prop. Shout out to my guy Steven. Shout out to Lanisa. Shout out to everybody in the coffee gang. Shout out to your Uncle Maclay and the drug deal at the back of the storage unit. Shout out to
getting us on cold brew too.
Yeah, shout out to DC Heck, my guy. Yes, bro. Shout out to my guy out there.
Shout out Prop.
Yeah, shout out to Prop.
On, bro. Lanisa, Steven. Yeah.
Everybody, bro. I don't even want to start naming names. Don't forget somebody. Yeah, but look,
I don't want to miss anybody.
Yes, I'm experimenting with. Normally, I do an intro and an outro for my podcast, but this week I want to do a podcast every week so I can just put out some podcasts consistently for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to try this video with you, it only being this conversation without an introduction or an exit. So thank you all for watching, for viewing, however you're seeing this. We love you guys. Go check out Tristele Coffee. Check out Coffee Black. Check out the Coffee Black, like Wakanda shirts. 10% of those go to a scholarship. To Black people just be giving other Black people scholarships. We're starting a performing arts scholarship for kids in our community to get free music lessons. So if you buy the shirt, it goes 10% of those sales go toward a kid being able to get free performing art lessons and honoring the legacy that Denzel had when he gifted and donated into, sowed a seed into Chadwick's career in artistic community. So, yeah. We need to sell 63 of those shirts, so I'm going to keep mentioning that. But, yeah, we love you guys. Y'all be blessed. We'll see y'all soon. And, of course, keep that coffee black. Oh, and if you want to try the Hambella, if you want to try the washed Hambella from my guy Jonathan's Uncle Maclay that we got, it's really a slapper. You need to join the Coffee Black subscription. So you'll get monthly coffee. This will be going out in the November or October box. So love you guys. Keep your coffee black. See you soon.
Hey yo, so check it. By popular request, Coffee Black presents our first ever coffee subscription program, the Brew Culture Subscription Box. We've gained so much positive feedback and interest from our growing community for our Gucci Mane blend that we've sought to bring you a monthly subscription via our website. So what does that mean for you? One, mad money savings, yo. For $35, you'll receive two 12-ounce bags that can make up to 40 pour-overs. That's 90 cents a cup. Compare that to your local Starbucks price. Two, inside perks. You'll be first in line for our newest and latest releases, including monthly admittance to the private brew-ups, our monthly coffee ciphers happening in our private Facebook group. Three, you'll be supporting a Black-owned business that continues to seek to build up the Black community in Memphis and worldwide through reclaiming Black coffee culture.